guests today are J.J. Hammond and Gus Emery. Guys, Gus, J.J., how you doing?
Hey, good
David,
to see you.
Pleasure to see you again.
It's great to be here at St. Louis Day of Dynamo. This is my first ever time ever St. Louis Day of Dynamo.
I think this is my fourth or fifth.
Hold that microphone a little bit higher. So
about fourth or fifth, yes. Fourth or fifth time here.
Awesome.
I've only missed 1 year that I know of.
And you're here doing your show, right?
Yep.
What's the show? Doing?
Our show is CodeCast, STL Tech Talk. I'll let JJ talk a little bit about STL Tech Talk, but CodeCast is a developer show where we shoot video and actually have demos so people can see real-world implementations of code and learn something new about the people doing it and code itself. JJ, what should we talk about now? STL Tech Talk.
Yeah, so we started STL Tech Talk last year, and we met Gus here at St. Louis Days of .net last year. And obviously hit it off very well, and now we're 30 shows in, and we couldn't be happier with the results. It's been phenomenal. We've also done a lot of work through the coding and just making these kinds of connections like what we're doing.
Speaking of code, speaking of tech, you guys did a workshop yesterday here at St. Louis Days of I keep calling it Day of Data. It's Days
of plural.
Like Days of Our Lives. What was the topic there?
So Alejandro, JJ, and I did a session on Windows 8 applications, universal applications. Just a quick little workshop to get people started. We used SQLite. Built a phone application and a desktop application to show them how to do it. I mean, it was pretty cool. I think everyone liked it from what I could tell.
No, we had a great response. We had a lot of people come back up to us today. We attended the full conference, and they were, great job. We learned a lot. You know, because we covered XAML, we covered the biggest parts of that shared project. So you have the Windows Store app, you have the Windows, and then you have your project and your solution. The Windows Store up the Windows Phone, and they have your shared libraries there, and the ability to use that and then leverage that to not have to repopulate code.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. The technology behind a universal app. This is relatively new. It's only been about a year or so. The universal app.
Well, it's built March or April.
March or April, less than a year. Because here we are in November. So, what's the advantage of universal apps over the older way of doing things?
The big boost to it is having that shared library, as JJ was talking about, where all of your business logic and data layers and certain things like that are all encompassed in a specific library that can be shared across devices now. And back in the prior days, you had to create a mobile DLL and desktop DLL, and you couldn't really share it.
Yeah, that was really frustrating. Yeah.
Or if you could, it was even more difficult because you had to write if statements about trying to figure out what platform you were on and what you were supposed to do. Now it's more flat, and it allows you to develop that piece, but then add resources into your other projects, like your screens, images, and things that'll change across devices, right?
Right.
Xbox has different imaging than your desktop does than your phone does, so yeah, you have to be able to encompass those pieces in a separate project.
And a simple little thing as the project name, like your app name, it goes across the phone and the desktop. So you can imagine what that's going to, those simple back-end changes you do once and it does multiple times for you. You don't have to do that yourself. So, I can see with using the Microsoft Visual Studio's ability to, with the IDE, iOS, and Android, right? So writing that once and not having to worry about it here, the project name or the header or whatever, it's there. So that's what's gorgeous about the universal
library. How does this differ from the shared class library, the portable class libraries that we were using before?
Well, the portable class library is pretty much somewhat the same. It's just that this breaks your solution into multiple projects automatically and actually tells you and lays out the folder structure for you below your code. So it actually gives, it's kind of like the MVC model, right? Where it loads up and gives you all the pieces that you need. It also references everything so you don't have to worry about it.
And you can call back on them later so you can put your view models inside of the shared. You don't have to put them in the store and in the front, right?
Wait, couldn't you do them in the portable class library though?
Yeah, I guess you could, but it doesn't work as seamless. It's not as seamless as an experience. And that's the most important thing, is seamless and reusability, code reusability.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, we told people that they have the option to switch out the database for Azure. So the ability to kind of code that in and be able to to use that flavor.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that an if statement, or is that what, is, what goes on there?
Yeah, it's a case statement. It's not
Go ahead.
No,
okay. So we're excited to talk to you earlier, and the response was great, so we're hoping to see people use the app from idea concept to storyboarding, essentially, and then deployment into the store. We covered the whole gamut, so we're excited to see the results of that.
I'm actually doing a workshop on Universal Apps in about a week in Columbus, Ohio, and I have some work to do to plan it. I'd like to get some of your tips here. Did you go all the way to getting people to finish the app and submit it to the store, or did you just have them walk through some labs, some exercises? What was your approach to this?
Yeah, actually, going through the gauntlet, if you will, myself recently, you know, you go through some
gauntlet of submitting to a store?
Right, submitting to a store. How do I, like packages, for example? So we showed them where to go in Visual Studios to submit to store through Visual Studios itself. So you don't have to go and log in to the website or whatever and upload your bag. You can just do everything from Visual Studios. Not a lot of people kind of do that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're new to the platform, so say if you're an iOS or Android developer or whatever. Now, because Microsoft's got some openness to it, now maybe there's some buzz, you're going to target it. So you can do everything within there. And that easy to use way of submitting is very important. Also, tile sizes, autocrop, adjusting for screen sizes, with parameters. We talked about how your apps will get kicked back and what the process looks like, about how long it'll take. Like just small little subtleties like that.
Right.
And target devices. How you can, if you don't change running the app in x86 from a particular command line, it'll throw you errors and you'll have to stop Visual Studio restarting again. It's kind of a pain.
I'm not sure what you're talking about there, but it sounds scary.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's kind of a pain, and it doesn't allow you to target multiple ones at the same time. Unless you can set up.
Oh, this is the target configuration.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So there are some real trip-ups as you're going through some of these toilet pieces, right? There's a lot of people go to XAML. I think the XAML has been around for a long time, but a lot of people still went WinForms, or they went left, right?
Yep.
And XAML kind of come out there with a few people.
WinForms are still more popular than WPF or any XAML technology.
So I was happy that Microsoft used it to back Windows Phone and will use modern apps since Microsoft's been slightly confusing.
Metro?
Yeah, Metro. But anyway, I was happy to see that because I think it's a very, very viable technology and a way to design this one, because it's actually very powerful.
So
you can learn it. The problem is debugging it itself.
Debugging it itself. Because it's declarative.
Yes, exactly. So that was one of the big problems, and we did run into one issue yesterday where something was named incorrectly. It's hard to find that.
That is true. Do you use HTML5 at all?
No.
Does that work with the Universal Apps?
Yes, it does.
But you got to commit yourself, in my opinion, to that the HTML, and then I would say the Node.js. I wouldn't say go with C#.
Well, I don't think it's option. I think it's either XAML and C# or it's HTML5 and Node.js.
Right, but I mean, like the overall just kind of structure and how you can structure this one thing.
You don't think it's worthwhile to learn both and have some products in one?
No, I mean, it's just kind of depends on the way. We were talking about this earlier with someone who was talking about Xamarin. It just depends on how you're trying to solve the problem.
Well, and for me, back in the maybe 60s, skills, you could be an expert in VB6,
right,
or darn close, right?
Right.
And, but once we started with the .NET,
it just got too big.
Framework. It's huge. It just to be able to build an app in both HTML5 and XAML C#, you know, that's pretty freaking impressive if you can do both in one app. That's a huge gamut of time. If you're doing it completely different.
Regarding Universal Apps, is there anything you haven't talked about that you should have?
Other than the fact that it's not necessarily universal yet, because they haven't combined the store, right? So you're still having those two separate packages.
Yep.
The universal model hopefully in the future becomes a one submission for multiple platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any inside information though, but that is getting closer together. Right. Even the stores are getting closer together. You reserve a name in one store, it's reserved another. The questions are closer together. Right. Similar.
But I think at this point, I mean, we're talking universal apps. The biggest target is for people who have already programmed it out for another, like iOS or Android model, so they want to come into this as easily with less friction as possible.
Agreed.
So they need to go into it with a clear head. And I think me saying some of those things maybe would help out.
One of the other things that I wanted to mention, because now that it was announced on Wednesday, now Visual Studio and .NET is cross-platform capable. So now you can actually develop apps for Mac and on Linux as well. So now we're looking at possibly expanding that realm to multiple devices as well under the same framework. So I think this is going to be huge in the long run. Like you guys were saying, a cohesive store is going to be huge.
Yeah, instead of two sets of stores, and then the idea of that shared share folder, you know, having that there for you can have that C-sharp call.
Sure. Right now, what is it like 80 or 90% of code can be shared? 90%. If we get that to 99 or 100, that'd be really.
And
really
that's the other 10% that we're all complaining about.
Well, yeah. And the only thing that I can guarantee that we will never be able to share is the design of the window. Right.
It's fundamentally different than
all the platforms are fundamentally different.
Okay.
All the platforms, user interface, gestures, and everything are slightly different.
Sure.
And what I'm excited just real quick is just the ability for that third party API clause that you're going to be able to be creating. That's what I'm most excited about. So the potential in native hardware, I'm very excited about that. I mean, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, and that's going to allow us to build apps that are really cool very quickly and easily and push them across all platforms. I think that's going to be awesome.
Guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Yeah.